Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, solid iron from McKeesport down, Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh.
Unmistakably folk singer Pete Seeger here with a tune by Woody Guthrie titled Pittsburgh Town. Pittsburgh is a great old town, or simply Pittsburgh. Somehow the tune made its way here into the big and building final moments of a work by classical composer Paul Hindemith. John Kehoe tells us in his notes for this recording, at the time of his death, Paul Hindemith was widely ranked among the foremost composers of the 20th century, on a level with Stravinsky and Bartok. Hindemith's reputation as a teacher and musical theoretician, too, seemed firmly established, with a series of seminally influential books to his name. He had evolved a harmonic system that ran counter to the orthodoxies of serialism and encouraged the belief that composers should write music that was to be of practical use, Gebrauchsmusik. Hindemith had left his native Germany as a protest against Nazism and became an American citizen in 1946. He was a powerfully influential professor at Yale University from 1940 through 1953. Even as a young man in Germany, Hindemith had been keenly interested in American history. And in the summer of 1948, while the Hindemiths were living in New Haven, they vacationed in the countryside of central Pennsylvania. In 1951, they returned to live in Switzerland, but in 1957, Hindemith was invited by William Steinberg, conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, to write a work for the bicentennial celebrations of the city of Pittsburgh. After some initial reluctance, Hindemith accepted the commission. The symphony was played over 20 times in the period immediately following its premiere. Hindemith himself conducted it with a Chicago Symphony Orchestra. The first movement is recognizably that of Hindemith from the first bars in terms of the harmonic language, linear development, and use of orchestral color to propel thematic development. The slow march is unexpectedly interrupted by the tune of a Pennsylvania Dutch song. The Pittsburgh audience, who did not know that tune, the audience was rather perplexed. The vigorous finale, in particular, is written for a virtuoso symphony orchestra, culminating in closing pages of terrific pizzazz, those words of John Kehoe in the notes for this recording. Certainly drawing on a tune tied to the city of Pittsburgh itself, Pittsburgh Town, makes sense. But what about that Pennsylvania Dutch folk song that Hindemith used? As it happens, the Mocantongo Heritage Center at the Hermitage in Pittman, Pennsylvania, has contributed a 69-year-old recording by a Klingerstown folk singer to the Hindemith Institute in Frankfurt, Germany, a version of the song Hab Lumbe Druvel, I Have Raggedy Troubles, by William Willie Brown, that was used by Hindemith in his Pittsburgh Symphony. The Christiansbrunn Hermitage is located here in our region in Schuylkill County, and it turns out that the folk tune Hindemith used in this second movement of the Pittsburgh Symphony comes from this very spot. We had a chance to speak by phone with Brother Johannes Zinzendorf of the Hermitage, and we asked him to tell us the story of the song in anticipation of the annual August open house at the Hermitage and the Mocantongo Heritage Center this Sunday, August 14th. We began with the story of the Hermitage itself.
The Hermitage is a spiritual center of harmonists. Our mission is to create unity between the earth and the spirit. We have lived in the Mahantondo Valley since 1988, and initially there was only a barn on the property, and we ended up moving various log and timber frame buildings to the side and rebuilding them. one goal was always to live an 18th century lifestyle like that of our early Moravian brothers. We're actually based on a Moravian community of single brothers that lived in the Lehigh Valley. And so our goal was to recreate that community. And so we lived without electricity or without any sort of modern utilities for a number of years. We even plowed with oxen, and we raised flats and made linen and lived very much a colonial life. However, as we got older, we realized that that wasn't going to work forever. So we've actually made a lot of compromises since then. Well, we have electricity for one thing, and I'm talking to you on a phone for another. But our spirit has always been true, and our devotion to doing our holy work remains as strong today as it was in 1988. Our goal was to initially have a brotherhood of, we thought 12 brothers could be sustained on our land. We have 63 acres, and men came and went, and no one ever stayed. I don't know if we had trouble communicating our vision or if the life was just too hard or what, but we finally realized that we were very bad at creating a type of cloistered existence, but we were great at creating a hermitage where hermits could live. And so it's ended up that Brother Zephyrman and I are the two remaining hermits on the property. And that actually has worked out rather well because we've created a different kind of family. We have a family now with our birds and our animals, and basically being on the land has created its own type of extended family where we can live in solitude, and we found that has been very important to our devotion.
When you mentioned the Lehigh Valley and Bethlehem and Moravians, we know how important music was to that community, and the story you're about to tell us is music-centered.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And from a very, very surprising source, because it involves a man named Don Yoder, who for many years was the chair of the Folk Studies Department at the University of Pennsylvania. And when Zephyr and I, when we just moved to Pennsylvania in the late 70s, thinking about buying land and starting a spiritual community, Don Yoder was in the forefront of knowing about communal life. And so we called him up, and he gave us some advice about where to go, other communities, and basically sort of how to set up a spiritual community. And then we started out on our own, and we ended up here in the Mahantongo Valley, which is where Upper Dauphin and Western Schuylkill County and Southern Northumberland County meet. And it's long been an isolated valley where primarily German farmers settled in the late 18th century, and it felt a very strong German culture. What we didn't realize when we got the land for the hermitage was that Don Yoder's own grandmother had been born and raised on our farm, on this land. So he had a really strong connection with us and was a good friend for many years. His most famous book was called Songs Along the Mahantongo, and he started it perhaps even as a grad student at Franklin and Marshall College, where he studied under his mentor, Alfred Shoemaker. And Don's plan was to take a wire recorder. This is before reel-to-reel recorders, and he actually used a thin piece of metal wire that was magnetized, and this wire could actually hold sound. And so Don would take this recorder throughout southeastern Pennsylvania and into homes of Pennsylvania Dutch farmers and basically ask them to sing songs. He was doing in central Pennsylvania what Alan Lomax had already done down in Virginia, for example, in Tennessee, and what Vaughan Williams had done in England, and Kodály and Bartók had done in Hungary, recording the songs of people, you know, everyday people. And so Don made hundreds of recordings, and he came into this valley and recorded a number of people. The most important one was a man named Willie Brown, who lived only a few miles from where I'm sitting now, in a little village called Hepler. And so Don took these recordings, and he worked with two other men, Walter Boyer and Albert Buffington. And they had these songs transcribed by a musician, because none of them were musicians. They were basically just trained folklorists. And so they were transcribed, and they put them all into a book called Songs Along the Mahantongo. And that's the valley I live in is called the Mahantongo Valley. And so the book became quite famous. It was the first book that actually listed the songs of the Pennsylvania Dutch and so completely. And they even made singing versions with rhyme. It's a spectacular book. And it's still available, just on the secondary market now. But what happened was, and we didn't know this until after Don's death. Don died last year at the age of 93. I was reading his obituary, and it mentioned that he had been friends with the American-German composer Paul Hindemith. And this started me, well, I was surprised that Don knew Hindemith. And how did this happen? Well, it turns out that in the late 50s, Hindemith was given a commission by the Pittsburgh Symphony, who I believe William Steinberg was the conductor then. And they gave Hindemith a commission for a symphony. Now, Hindemith had only written one major symphony in his life, the Symphony in E-flat during the war. But he had this symphony in mind, and he had to commemorate Pittsburgh. Well, it turns out he was already familiar with Pennsylvania when he had to flee Germany during the war. He came to New Haven, to America, to New Haven, to Yale, where he worked. But he was looking for some German culture, and he certainly wasn't going to find it around New Haven or Connecticut. So he came to Pennsylvania, and I guess he sort of fell in love with both the land and the people, the German people. Evidently, he could speak the dialect or some form of the dialect. And the rolling hills of Pennsylvania, especially the middle part of Pennsylvania, Lebanon, Berks counties, Dauphin County, reminded him of his home. He was born either in or near Frankfurt, Germany. So he felt very much at home here. And when he got this commission to write a symphony, it seems that he had the idea to incorporate a Pennsylvania Dutch song. Perhaps he had heard songs when he and his wife were driving through Pennsylvania. But in any case, he ended up, to find out more about the Pennsylvania folk song tradition, he bought the book. Okay, he bought Songs Along the Montango. And evidently he just sort of paged through it looking for a song he could use. It's sort of strange that he wanted to use a Pennsylvania Dutch song because obviously Pittsburgh has no, it's not a Dutch city. I mean, there's nothing Pennsylvania German related to Pittsburgh. But in Hindemith's mind, I think he made a connection between Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh and wanted to do something to perhaps celebrate and recognize these German settlers in Pennsylvania for whom he evidently had quite a close affinity. So he chose a song, and he chose a song that was called Hob Lumba Groovel. Lumba in German, in Dutch, means rag, and groovel means trouble. And basically it means I have raggedy trouble. And the song was sung by a man named Willie Brown, who, as I said earlier, lived in the Montango Valley. And Hindemith took the melody. Of course, the symphony had no voices in it, so he couldn't use the word, but he took the tune. And the song is quite short. It only lasts like 26 seconds. It only has one verse. There's no chorus, and it just tells the story, and then it stops. But it has a very strong rhythmic feel to it. And evidently, Hindemith really liked this idea. This is those bum bum ba da 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 dun 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 da dun dun da 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 dun dun dun. It's really catchy. And so he uses this in the second movement of his symphony. There are just three movements. So for the middle movement, it starts with a slow march, and then the middle part, he has the trumpet solo playing this Pennsylvania Dutch song from our valley. And so when I listen to a recording of the Pittsburgh Symphony and it comes to the middle of the second movement, I always gasp because I say, that is Willie Brown's song. You know, he used this song in the symphony. And then he does variations on it. And at the end of the movement, he actually combines the first march with the song using counterpoint in a way that only Hindemith could do. So it's an exciting thing to realize that in this very isolated valley, there was a folk song tradition that ended up being researched by one man, Don Yoder, and then being used by another man, an exile from Germany, Paul Hindemith, in a really his last major symphonic work, evidently, was the Pittsburgh Symphony. So it was very exciting to find this out. Of course, the sad thing was that Don was dead by the time I learned this. So I couldn't ask him anything about it. So what I ended up doing was contacting the Hindemith Institute in Germany and contacted the director there and mentioned that I actually had the Hermitage have a copy of the song. Don, before he died, donated all of his wire recordings to the Library of Congress. There was a huge folk song archive there, including Alan Lomax's tapes and all kinds of stuff. So Don gave his wire recordings, and later on he did reel-to-reel recordings to the Library of Congress. And they had a wire recorder, and they actually played his recordings and they digitalized them. And then Don let us have copies here in our own archives at the Hermitage of all of his recordings. And we put them on CDs, and they actually turned out to be 7 CDs of folk songs. And we made copies for the local library, made copies for the Historical Society, the Schuylkill County Historical Society in Pottsville has a copy as well. Don wanted these to return to the valleys here where we initially got the songs. And so I made a copy of Willie Brown's 26-second song and sent it over to the Hindemith Institute. They did have a copy of Hindemith's book of his version of Songs Along the Montondo, but they did not have the actual original recording, and now they do. And it was very exciting to supply that to them. And in return, what they had for us was a letter that Don Yoder wrote to Hindemith shortly before Hindemith died. The letter was written in English, and evidently Hindemith was already dying and in the hospital, and so they're not sure if he actually had a chance to read the letter before he passed away or not. But we have a copy of that letter. It's just, how are you and the wife, and, we hope you're doing well, just what friends would say to each other. But this was the connection that we made only after Don died, and it really brought this whole folk music tradition of our valley to life in a way that I had never dreamed possible. It just takes your breath away. And there are still people in the valley here who remember Willie Brown, who remember hearing him sing, And so for them to learn, and I hope they listen to the program, to learn this connection, I think would be very exciting, because we feel sort of left out, The world sort of goes on around us, which is fine most of the time, but you also want to be connected to something beyond us here, and this really does that, I think.
And there's something blues-like in the phrase raggedy troubled. Couldn't you hear a blues guitarist?
Oh, you really can, exactly, yes. It's a really cute song because what the song said, I'm not going to read the Dutch, but I have an English translation I'll read for you. It says, I raggedy trouble with my raggedy hat, raggedy trouble with my raggedy cat. I've raggedy trouble with my wife in the house. I've raggedy trouble with my hired man. I've raggedy trouble and he sleeps with Nan. I've raggedy trouble with my wife everywhere. Hit him with a club, but he doesn't care. I've raggedy trouble from my hat to my shoes, and every week I read the raggedy news. So this is a farmer who's having trouble. It sounds like his wife is having an affair with the hired man, and maybe he tried to deal with it by, hitting the guy with a club or something, and it didn't do any good, so he just gives up and reads the newspaper. And that's the song. That is it. There's nothing more. And from this, Paul Hindemith got the idea for, the second movement of a symphony. that's inventiveness. That's creativity right there.
If it's all right, we will share it with our listeners because they have to hear it now that you've described it in this way.
Off a loom, behind the middle, loom, back shot. Loom, back piano, middle, loom, back cot. A bloom, back throw, a mitten, nest, I'm stall. A bloom, back throw, loom, that's loop, father Paul. A bloom, but the rubber met a frau im Hart. Schlag mit dem Knippel, aber es macht nichts aus. A bloom, but the rubber von Kopf zu Fuß. Und alle Woche lese ich die Lumpe News.
Willie Brown singing Raggedy Trouble in a recording made by Don Yoder, your friend. when you hear Willie sing it, it makes you smile. You don't have to know what the words are, right?
Exactly, yes. It's a very happy song. It's catchy and contagious. And you can just see him singing it for a fiddle, you know, at a dance or something, and people clapping and stomping and just really enjoying themselves. You can see why Hindemith wanted it. It's just a very joyful song.
Now, we're having this conversation, and this weekend is your annual open house at the Hermitage. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, we've had an open house for a few years now, and the Hermitage is actually open for visitors throughout the summer and to the end of October. But we always have one special day when we really pull things together, and that's going to be on Sunday, this coming Sunday, and it'll be from noon to 4. And I'll give our address. It's in Pittman, 75 Grove Road, G-R-O-V-E. And we'll have several buildings open. We have a Moravian building that we moved up from Bethlehem, the 1759 Gemeine House. Gemeine House means community house in German. That's the centerpiece of the Hermitage here. It has our Saal, our meeting hall. And it has a number of pictures of our Moravian connections and early Moravian brothers and sisters in it. That'll be open. We have a letterpress print shop because when we first started here, we had to get out the word and we had no electricity. Of course, I don't even know if they had email back in 1988-89, but we certainly didn't have it. So we actually started doing letterpress, setting type by hand, letter by letter, and we got an old press, several old presses actually, and put out a newsletter and flyers, and that's how we got out the word about what we were doing. Not successfully, but at least we tried. That print shop will be open. In the barn, we have what we call the Mahantongo Heritage Center, which really celebrates the folk traditions of the Mahantongo Valley with furniture and photographs, textiles, clothing, tools. We'll also have, as background music, we'll have the very last folk singer of the Mahantongo Valley. His name was Lut, L-U-T. That was his nickname. Everyone has nicknames here. Lut Willier. Lut died just a couple of years ago, and we were fortunate to be able to record him. We were sort of in Don Yoder's tradition. We recorded Lut before he died, and people will be able to tour the Heritage Center with the background of Lut singing, which is always very exciting to hear him again. We'll also have a spinning and weaving studio open, and Zephram will be spinning and weaving, and I'll be at the outdoor bake oven. We have perhaps a 200-year-old freestanding bake oven that we moved from the Netz farm over here and rebuilt, and I'll be doing a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch bake day of sourdough bread and soufflé pie, of course, crumb cake. We'll have rhubarb pie, raisin pie, ginger snaps, and everything. We just give things away. You know, they're free samples, and people can tour the gardens. They can see the garden well. I mean, it's basically a vegetable garden. This is not like Lawnwood Gardens or Hershey Gardens, okay? This is nothing spectacular, but it is a functional garden. And they can see our birds. We have lots of ducks and turkeys and geese and chickens and a lot of barn cats.
What about the gongs?
Oh, the Gone Project. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yes, the Gone Project. Well, I was visiting a farmer here, and in addition to farming, he digs out old oil tanks, boilers and things like that, and he just stores them on his property. So I was going through this, like, graveyard of old boilers and fuel tanks, and I hit one. And it had a nice resonant sound. So this is my clue here. Let's do something with some of these. So we did. We suspended a number of these old tanks and in their empty steel tanks, and even things like empty fire extinguishers, anything that you can hit to make a sound. And it's 30 feet long, and they're all suspended off the ground. It's big. And we use drumsticks and mallets, and it's going to be available to the public that anyone can come down there and bang on it all they want. And we don't do it very often. The nearest neighbor is about a quarter mile away, but I guess he's pleased we don't do it very often. But it'll be good. It'll be good on Sunday. And we also have a thunder machine. It's just a piece of sheet metal that hangs down. You can whip it back and forth and make thunder. So you can beat the Gone Project, make thunder, and have a great time. It's a wonderful instrument.
We know that you're listening to public radio, but does music figure in your lives there?
It's a central part of our lives. We're harmonists, and you can't be a harmonist without music, right? And for us, music is actually a ritual thing. We write our own hymns, and we find it really puts us in tune with the spirit. And so singing is very important to us. We're not very good instrumental-wise, but we can sing up a storm. We're not even good singers, but we have enthusiasm, and that makes up for a lot. So yes, to answer your question, yes, music is very, very important to us because it resonates, right? It resonates, and it puts you in touch with a lot of things just beyond the everyday world that we get so enmeshed in, you know, and it's like it's going to stifle us. But music is transcendent, and it can really put us on a different plane. So, yes, music is very important to us. And this is another example of how music can bring people together. It's really a healing thing. It's a communal thing, and we need more of it.
Brother Johannes Zinzendorf, speaking with us about the Mahantongo Heritage Center and the rare historic sound recording the center supplied to a major German archive. The Mahantongo Heritage Center at the Hermitage in Pittman, Pennsylvania, has contributed a 69-year-old recording by a Klingerstown folk singer to the Hindemith Institute in Frankfurt, Germany, a version of the folk song Hab Lumba Druva, I Have Raggedy Trouble, that was sung by William Willie Brown, used by composer Paul Hindemith in his Pittsburgh Symphony. Hindemith found the transcribed song in the collection Songs Along the Mahantongo, written by Don Yoder with Walter Boyer and Albert Buffington, and published in 1951. Hab Lumba Druva lasts only 26 seconds in Willie Brown's version. In his commentary to the printed song, Don Yoder notes that it had antecedents in Germany, and it's possible that Hindemith was familiar with a German version from his youth. Yoder recorded Willie Brown in 1947. The Christiansborn Hermitage will have its annual open house this Sunday, August 14th, from noon to 4 p.m. Brothers Zephram and Johannes will host the event at the Harmonist Spiritual Center. Buildings will be open, as well as the Mahantongo Heritage Center, and that's the only museum dedicated to the folk traditions of the Mahantongo Valley. Brother Zephram will demonstrate flax spinning. Brother Johannes will do a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch bake day at the 200-year-old outdoor brick bake oven, free samples of sourdough bread, shoofly pie, rhubarb pie, Dutch crumb cake and ginger snaps among the offerings. The Heritage Center will be open for self-guided tours that day, but Brother Johannes will provide a special guided tour at 2:30. Also open will be the 1759 Gemeinehaus, the community house that was originally located at a Moravian missionary settlement in the Lehigh Valley, but it was moved and rebuilt at the Hermitage. Lots more on offer. Admission is free, and actually tours are available of the Hermitage by appointment through the end of October. The Hermitage is located at 75 Grove Road in Pittman, adjacent to Hepler's Grove, and for more information on the web, atthehermitage.org, atthehermitage.org. The Hermitage will be open for its annual open house Sunday, August 14th from noon to 4. For more information on the web, atthehermitage.org, atthehermitage.org.